Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
People of Earth, if you can hear my voice, you have arrived at another episode of Breakfast with Brent Pope. I am your host, Brent Pope. You've seen my guest on cool shows like Mr. Mayor, Will and Grace, Grace and Frankie. That's two Graces. Maybe I should call him Your Grace. We'll find out. Is he royalty? Maybe, maybe not. He might be because he's worked on WWE video games. That's kind of royal. Royal Rumble. And we also had breakfast from Peddler's Fork, which is, I don't know if I've ever been to a place that is a bike shop and a coffee shop and a bar, and a scratch kitchen, but we did it, and hey, maybe we had a Queen-a-mon, callback to last episode. So, anything else you want to know? It doesn't matter if there's anything you want to know, because we have AJ Castro today on Breakfast.
Pick it up!
Welcome to Breakfast with Brent Pope. Breakfast!
This young lady just smashed the lids on all these cakes in the bakery section.
That could go on a Hallmark card.
My guest today...
Oh, I'm gonna need to hear... all about that.
I didn't need any extra sausage.
He adds character to my crew.
Is a goat pit a real thing?
Breakfast.
What?
Welcome to Breakfast with Brent Pope.
Great place to hang out and good food, too.
I'm always playing blue-collar guys.
Breakfast.
Somebody screw through the pipe.
I wouldn't jump up and down until we stabilized the hydraulics.
I love a crawler.
All my uncles got the gout.
Jalapeno / cheddar waffles.
Who doesn't love that? It's breakfast time.
Breakfast.
The only show where bacon, pancakes, Hollywood. I'm your host, Brent Pope.
AJ Castro, welcome to the Breakfast Studio.
My man, thanks for having me. This is awesome.
We met on the set of Sauce Boys.
We did.
I was playing the I always call him, what
the
do I
grizzled,
call him?
The start
grizzly,
off with the word
grizzly prickly Captain Norman, and you were the SWAT team.
Grizzly prickly.
Yeah.
Vargas.
Vargas.
Yeah.
Guys, everybody listen up for Vargas. If you want to keep your head on your shoulders.
Keep your head on a goddamn swivel. You know, if you close your eyes, Norman and Vargas could have been played by the same person.
They could have been.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, give me your best Norman line.
This is a goddamn shit show.
And this is Vargas. This is a goddamn shit show.
Wow.
It could have been the same guy.
Well, I don't like that. I might have a re-edit and then put the better looking guy in both parts. That's not me.
Wait a minute. Is that the same guy playing both parts? No.
No. I thought the Captain Norman before was way uglier.
This was a digitally remastered. That's what
digitally
happened.
Remastered. Also, when they blew up the sauce district, there was a ring around the planet, like in the new Star Wars.
Right.
But
that was fun. Sauce Boys was fun, man. And shout out to BG, Brian Galese, who kind of, you know, created that and made it from scratch and made it something real special.
Well, you and I have, okay, we have to tell this story.
Elephant in the room.
Yes.
Or should I say movie tickets in the room?
I don't know if I've been this shocked in a while. You know, guys, you have certain things in your life where you're like, it was a big thing at the time, and then you forget about it, and then you see something else later, and it triggers you back to that time period. So back, I would say maybe like 12 years ago, something like that.
More than that.
15?
Yeah, let's call it between 12 and 15.
Okay, between 12 and 15 years ago, I auditioned for this commercial for movie tickets. You guys might even have seen this if you were in the movie theaters at the time. I think it was like a guy driving through the desert, and he stops his car, and like kind of a gangster guy walks up and is like, "Hey,
here's
some
tickets.
Here's your tickets.
You know, you should never hear the word sold out again."
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
And then there's his lackey's like, "Hey, by the way, you can buy this stuff." I mean, I'm not doing your voice, but hey, you can buy these tickets online now.
You know, sir, with movietickets.com, you can buy your tickets online through the computer or internet device. You don't even need us.
Yeah. That's what happened. So I'm watching AJ's like commercial reel, and I was like, oh my God, I almost got that commercial. And I was so upset at the time because I would see it all the time in the movie theater and be like, "Ah, why do I have to watch this all the time?"
Man,
and in fact, the guy that booked it was AJ Castro.
You know, that happens all the time, and people don't know that about Hollywood and you know, TV, film, commercials. You come so close to booking so many things, right? You're put on hold, you're released. And it's happened to all of us where we really want something. We're really excited about a role. We're put on hold. We're like right there. It's between me and another dude. And then you get released, right? And it's always interesting to see who booked it.
Well, it's always cool to actually get to know the people later and be like, oh, this guy's a cool guy.
Right.
We're, you know, Chris Chan is another guy that was on the show. We've done that to each other probably four or five times on different TV shows. And so, and we're total buddies now. You know, some people think, oh, you're probably rivals. Well, no. Sometimes Chris is going to get it. Sometimes I'm better for the part. Sometimes, or that's the perception of whoever's casting it or whatever. And same with this. Look, just you reading that commercial now is like, yeah, that's why I didn't get it. His read is much better.
I have, I'm the opposite. I have a list. If you book it over me, I put your name down. We're not talking.
Oh, wow. Well, well, I'm not on that list for you probably. So, oh, who knows? Maybe I am.
No,
I don't know.
Man, I'm kidding.
It is cool to see who got it and know that person.
Sure.
Because then you could at least be kind of happy for them instead of being like, well, I don't know this guy.
Right.
He might be terrible.
Right, you know? Right. who's he banging? Who's he sleeping with to get
right.
that role? I should have got it.
I should have slept with that person.
Right. It's funny. You always want to think there's like something that, you know, that person must know the producer and that's why he got it and I didn't, right?
Yeah.
But truthfully, man, sometimes they're just better than you or at that specific role or look, right? And the more you get into this business, the more you accept that, I think.
One thing that I found really interesting, and we're going to talk more about like some of your other video games you worked on, but like you worked on a game that I really love called L.A. Noire. And when you told me that they had an avatar of your face. And then when you said it, I immediately was like, I totally recognize you. And I totally remember that face.
Oh, okay.
I remember the younger version of you on that game.
Right.
It was just like a patrolman that would be around in different places.
That's it.
And that's totally you. I was like, oh my God, that's so crazy.
And he'll pop into like the room and be like, hey, we got this bus on fire. You got to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was super fun. When I auditioned for that and when I shot it, I had no idea what it was. It was so secretive. Right? Like, you just, here's your lines. Right when you get on set, here's your lines. Like, we're going into this white room with cameras all around, and we're just going to do the lines. And I had no idea what it was going to be for. I knew it was a video game.
Yeah.
But that was it.
L.A. Noire was cool because it was, like, a total, like, film noir era version of L.A.
Right.
In a video game.
Right.
And you could go, I mean, all over L.A. And it was pretty extensive map and pretty accurate for the time.
Right. I think it was kind of groundbreaking because it was, like, a true period piece on LA, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Within a video game format.
I had Adria Tenner on, and she actually played one of those random encounters where you see a wife that has just been like in an argument with her husband.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I totally remember that scene where you just like
I played that.
Yeah, where you can like drive by and you hear a lady crying. You're like, oh, am I going to stop? I'm on my way to this crime, but I could stop and help this lady first. And it's just so crazy, all those little things that go into those video games. And she probably had no idea either what this was going
right.
to be. Were you wearing like period stuff when you did L.A. Noire?
No, you know, it's funny because they just, they do camera capture for
it's
your
just motion.
Face.
It's just for you. So you're not wearing a costume
you're
at all.
Costume.
You're just wearing the costume with the little
the sensors.
Yeah, the sensors all over it where you look ridiculous if
right.
you don't see it in the game. And then we watch the game, you're like, that looks cool.
Correct. And, you know, I'm sure technology has changed, but at the time when they capture your face in particular, you sit into this. It felt like you were like in a time machine because it's like literally a white room.
Yeah.
Everything was white. Walls, ceiling, floor. You had to put like these special booties to get in there so you don't get anything dirty. And then you sit into this like cylinder with cameras all around and you can't move, but you have to deliver your line so that the cameras can capture every angle of your face as you're saying it. And then they take that, put it on your movements, and then they take your movements and put like the cop suit on that.
It almost seems like an MRI.
Yeah.
When you get in the tube and you can't move. Either that or you're in some like very extensive cult
right.
that just really wanted to steal all the personal information about their
could
their
be both.
Members.
Could be both.
Did you have to wear any robes after this?
I choose not to say.
Were you paying to go to different levels?
this might be a good time to plug my cult. That I'm
Were you considered a Padawan?
I'm a level 7.
You're level 7. Yeah. Wow. You have done some really cool comedies. Let's talk about some of those. You got Mr. Mayor. That's I think it's created by Tina Fey, right?
Mr. Mayor created by Tina Fey and Robert Carlyle.
Not Robert Carlyle. Robert Carlock.
Yeah.
Those are different people. Robert Carlyle.
We don't. I mean, it could be the same person, just different names. We don't.
Yeah,
we
Robert Carlyle is the British guy from.
Yeah, yeah.
Was he in the Full Monty? I think.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, you'll know him when you see his face. You know.
Anyway, not him. Robert Carlock.
Carlock. Who?
Tina Fey.
Yeah. 30 Rock. Right. Think
right,
30
of course,
Rock.
Yes.
These are the people behind 30 Rock, who was so successful. And now, Mr. Mayor is kind of the new kid on the block.
How
right?
now? How's tell me about this character that you play on, Mr.
Nestor.
Mayor.
Nestor, he is the head security guard for City Hall, right?
Yeah.
Where Mr. Mayor Ted Danson works, right? So I appeared first in season one. I'm part of this world, kind of recurring character here, where I'm always at the front of City Hall letting people in.
Nestor the arrestor.
Nestor the
possibly, you know.
in the episode, they say I smell like Red Bull. Because one of the characters has a crush on me, and it's like, oh, he smells like Red Bull or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's great. It's a fun character.
Like, and
it's
like Red Bull and yeah. and Musk.
Like, it's a super fun show. I think the cast is amazing. You know, Tina Fey, Robert Carlock, amazing writers. You know, I think shout out to Wendy O'Brien, who casts it. She has done a terrific job in her team kind of putting a really nice ensemble together. So it's a fun show. 30 minutes, watch it, check it out.
Yeah,
you can't go wrong with Ted Danson.
And it hasn't been out for too long, so it's not like you're three seasons in. You can catch up
on
that show.
That's right.
Yeah. The show that you were on that I've almost been on like four times, Grace and Frankie. Talk about legends on a show.
Oh, man. Yeah.
You know, you're working with Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin.
Right.
That's insane.
I have a quick story about that.
Yeah.
I was sitting in my dressing room waiting to shoot my scenes on that show. And it was like the time was going by, an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. Then it got really late. And, you know, I get this knock on the door and they're like, hey, you know, we're running way behind. Would you be okay coming back tomorrow to shoot your scenes?
Yes.
Right? Right.
Another day's pay.
Yeah. But then check this out. Then they're like, Jane and Lily would really appreciate it. If you're not okay with it, we'll go and tell them. And it's okay. We can make it. And what am I going to say? No, go tell Jane and Lily we're doing my stuff tonight. You know, no, of course you come back, right?
I got a poker tournament tomorrow.
Come on, Jane, Lily. No, but no, I thought that was really cool because for as much legends as they are, they treat everyone very well on that show. Everyone's kind of like equal.
Yeah, I was even when I auditioned for it, they were shooting around. They don't always shoot right around where you're auditioning, but they were that day because Martin Sheen walked by and was super friendly. And I was like, I was not expecting that at all. I expected him to be kind of like just, I don't know, maybe
Martin Sheen, right?
Yeah, maybe he thought I had already booked something, but he was just super nice. And I was like, oh, wow, Martin Sheen, wow.
Everyone's on.
That's really cool.
Yeah, man, such a, you know, sometimes you hear of like toxic sets, right? Like you don't want to go on that show, right? But this is such an awesome cast and show. It was super fun being part of it. I'm one of my really good friends today, Billy Finnegan, he wrote my episode. We met there on set. And, you know, we've gone to dinner a couple times and he's had a lot of success after that. So shout out to Billy. But it's just a good group of people. Marta, the creator, amazing.
Kaufman.
Yeah, friends, right?
Friends.
Yeah, she's amazing. I have nothing but great things to say about my experience there.
I had like three callbacks and, you know, Marta Kaufman's usually at the callbacks. And I'm just such a fan of Friends, you know. I don't know if I don't mind being nervous at an audition, actually, because I feel like it's better than being complacent or feeling like, oh, I got this. I'd rather be nervous because that gives you energy.
Sure.
But I definitely had energy when Marta Kaufman was like, oh, shoot, that's Marta Kaufman. I mean, that's a legendary show. You know what I mean? It's like,
you know, I'll tell you a quick story. I agree with you. You know, sometimes you walk into an audition. It happened to me with Mad Men when I walked in and I auditioned for Mad Men and I was reading with like actors within the show, right?
Right.
And I was like, oh man, like this is, it's almost like intimidating to a sense, right?
Yeah.
But there is certain, I have an advantage because I grew up in Costa Rica and I didn't come to the States till I was like 7, 8 years old. And so like my first 10 years of life, right? In the early 90s, late 80s into the early 90s,
sure.
I wasn't really watching TV. And even as I grew up, I was more into sports, right? I didn't grow up around pop culture, right? In Costa Rica, you just don't have that.
Right.
And so a lot of times I walk in a room and I prefer not to know who people are, right? Like, I know Marta's somewhere in here. I'm not going to look her up. You know what I mean? That kind of thing.
I'll tell you what, that you're right. I think that probably is an advantage not to know the person because it's, It could get in your head.
It can get in your head. Yeah.
You could use it as, could be energy. It could also just be in your head, like, oh, John Hamm or whoever it is.
The first time I auditioned for Mom, Chuck Lorre, right? I had no idea what he looked like. So I got a call back. You walk in. Chuck is right there. He's sitting there. You get a feeling that this guy is someone important because, you know, everyone's around him. He's talking, right? But I had no idea what he looked like the first time, right? So I think that was probably one of my best auditions because you go in there and you're just performing. You're doing your talent, right? You're doing your artist thing as opposed to like, oh, man, this is Chuck Lorre. Like, oh, you know, it's very different when you just go in there kind of peace of mind.
You worked on another kind of, you know, anytime they bring a show back, you know it's a big show, Will and Grace.
Will and Grace.
How was that?
Amazing, amazing. You know, it's very, that show's very important to me for a number of reasons. First and foremost, I booked in and I got to work with Sean Hayes.
Yeah.
And I, again, 90s, right? I was a Seinfeld guy, right? So I wasn't, Friends wasn't my jam. Will and Grace necessarily wasn't my jam. It was Seinfeld, all Seinfeld, right? So again, I was walking into my audition and to walking in on set with Deborah Messing, you know, Sean Hayes, right? And it wasn't an ad of like, oh man, like look at these people I grew up watching, right? To me, it was like, they're my coworkers. Let's go to work, right? But then Sean Hayes turned it on and it was a, man, this guy knows what he's doing.
Yep.
And I can learn a lot right now, right? So at that point, I was like a sponge. Everything he did, I wanted to see how he prepped. I wanted to see how he delivered lines, right? And the dude was so nice, man. Not only did he, you know, I was on there for, you know, a role, right? It wasn't a central character. Elias, right? The repairman where Sean Hayes worked. Just Jack.
And, wait, you played Elias the repairman? No, I didn't.
And Sean Hayes comes up to me and he's like, hey, you know, here's kind of what I want to try in the scene. And I was like, great, yeah, whatever you want, man. And then he asked me, is there anything you want to do?
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, you don't have to. In my head, I'm thinking, you don't have to. You're Sean Hayes. You're the star of the show. Like, I'm here to support you, man. And that's what I'm thinking in my head. But it was so refreshing, again, to see someone of that stature, you know, with that resume and that history to ask me, is there anything I want to do? So shout out to Sean, man. That guy is amazing.
Well, not only is he like, and I'll say the same thing. I was more of a Seinfeld guy and then also Friends. Not as much Will and Grace, but when I would watch Will and Grace, there's just some powerhouse performers and really funny people on that show.
Oh, yeah.
It just wasn't as much my show as the other ones, but Sean Hayes is really good. Deborah Messing's really funny. Megan Mullally is obviously amazing.
And they're all pros, man. They're all so amazing. You think this comes natural to them, and it does. It has to, right? But during the table read, they were pros, man. They came in, their scripts, they were working through it, right? Trying to find the right beats and the right jokes. Yeah, it was
That's cool. It's that Sean Hayes seemed actually interested in like kind of a collaborative. Maybe you might have a perspective on this character that he didn't think of that might be even better than what they thought of.
Sure.
And maybe not. But at least we get more ideas out there.
Talking a little bit, right?
Yeah, that's really cool. Well, congrats on all those cool shows that you worked on that I didn't get to be on any of them.
They're lost, my friend. You would have brought something really special there.
Oh, no, it was my loss for sure. the money, the credit. No, it's all great. It's all good stuff. Let me talk to you about something else. You are a guy that's worked on a lot of video games.
Yes.
We talked about L.A. Noire. You did a little bit on one of my very favorite games, Red Dead Redemption.
That's right.
Which is like an old Western. It's a Western with a great story.
Yeah.
The main thing you did, I think you did for like 6 years, you worked on these WWE wrestling video games.
Yeah.
Tell me about like what you were doing on them specifically and how do you feel about that? Because that's a long time working on those.
I think we did 6 games.
Wow.
A game a year, right? Really, I started working on it. I probably worked on it for combined 8 years because we did a lot of like prep before and after and follow up. The game was super cool because I grew up a wrestling fan.
Yeah.
Right. So I grew up watching Ultimate Warrior and, you know, The Undertaker and Hulk Hogan. Right. And then in the 90s, Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock, you know, Dwayne Johnson. That was one of my people growing up. Right. Someone like you look up to. Right. So I grew up doing these wrestling impersonations.
Yeah.
Right. In front of the mirror. Do you remember? In the 90s, they had like the Slam Buddies, which was like a pillow, like, you know, Macho Man. And
I know exactly you know what you're talking about.
I had those and I would like wrestle, you know what I mean? So like I knew the moves, I knew the movements, I knew the cadences, I knew the voices, I knew the personas, right? So when I auditioned for the game, again, it was a little secretive. I had to do a John Cena impersonation. They had like the script and it was John Cena doing a promo. And I was John Cena. I cut the promo like John Cena. Shout out John Cena. And I didn't hear anything for months. And then one of the producers of this video game at the time, John Okui, shout out John. We're good friends now. He hit me up. He's like, yeah, we got this game. We want you to work on it. But we have to rehearse for months, right? So we started rehearsing on it. And then we shot it. And then it continued. They kept bringing me back. It was a continuous gig for about 6 years. In 2010, I did the create a character voice. So back in 2010, if you were playing that game and you created Brent Pope, you know, as a wrestler with the finisher, the Brent Fist, mm-hmm. right? Which is, you know, you bring out a Quinamon and you eat it in front of the guy. That's the finisher as I see it. You would have my voice in your create a character. Yeah. So that was really fun to do.
I think I would call it like the Pope on a rope finisher or the potpourri, something like that.
That would have been good. Yeah.
Right. As like turn them into dust at the end.
Yeah. The Pope's cross where you put them up
Pope's
on the
cross.
You know,
yeah.
But you know, I think the one thing that sticks out, not only did I get to do a lot of really cool ring entrances as different wrestlers, but I got to be The Rock. I got to be Dwayne Johnson. So anytime you see Dwayne Johnson from, you know, 2006 to 2012 in the game, that's me doing those moves. So that was really fun because I grew up idolizing the guy.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, I don't know what he did after wrestling. I don't, you know, he might have.
It's a sad story. He's really fizzled out.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
I watched this show. I actually had a couple decent shots of getting a part on the Young Rock TV show. I don't know if you've seen that, but it's an interesting show.
I was like pulling my rep's tail all of last year trying to get on that show. I was like, man, I could do Macho Man. I can do you name it. Give me whatever, right? I even did a promo. It's on my Instagram of me impersonating Razor Ramon.
Oh,
you know, Scott Hall.
That's a good call right there.
Right. Yeah. And basically shouting out to The Rock saying, hey, you know, the bad guy wants to be on season two, you know, bring him in. So it was cool, man. It was, that's a great show. Shout out Dwayne Johnson, The Rock. He's doing some really good stuff. He just broke some record for a rap song. Where he was, he's rapping on a song. It's called Face Off. It's really
cool. Only a rap song I remember him doing.
Wyclef?
Yeah,
Wyclef. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah, yeah. Wyclef featuring The Rock. It doesn't matter.
I got something in the West Indies. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Got 23 bins in this house full of bins.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, but he's rapping. He's good, man. He's got some nice flow.
What would you say his style is like?
I mean, he's cursing in the song and everything.
Really?
Yeah, this is not the Tooth Fairy we're talking about here. This is, you know, Dwayne The Rock Johnson coming out and really rapping in there. I would say, you know, he's got a little Busta Rhymes feel where it's just like it flows really nice. And I think he's mean, man. He's The Rock. He's powerful, very powerful voice on there. Yeah.
Before we go any further, we had Brentfist from Peddler's Fork in Calabasas, not to be confused with the Peddler's Fork in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. I looked it up and I was like, there's a place called The Peddler's Fork and Peddler's Fork.
Yeah, no. I wanted to go to The Peddler's Fork, but you didn't want to go to Iowa.
I was like, I will never be caught dead in Iowa or alive in Iowa. No, I would. I used to live in Nebraska. It's next to Iowa. It's just a long ways to go, and it's very flat and boring for the most part. Peddler's Fork is a scratch restaurant, which means they make all the stuff themselves there. They get locally sourced ingredients. Genuine bar, which means it's a full bar. They have a coffee shop there called 10 Speed Coffee, which is, you know, just part of the place. And they also have a bike repair shop.
Right.
All in one.
Right.
Now,
a combination, if
guys,
you will.
Guys, if you were out early in the morning and your car, your bike breaks down in Calabasas and you need coffee and a chaser drink and a meal and to get your tire fixed.
There you go.
Peddler's Fork.
Check, 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 check.
Thank you. It's a very cool looking place. I thought it was like really cool place to hang out. They had really cool pastries. We got a Queen Amman.
That's right.
Which we just talked about on the previous Brentfest.
For those who don't know, tell people what it is.
Queen Amman is it's named after the area of France called Breton. Breton is also a Celtic language.
Okay.
So Queen, it sounds like Queen, like the Queen of England. It's actually spelled K-O-U-I-G-N, which could only be Celtic or Welsh or one of those languages like that. In French, it means like butter cake.
Okay.
It's known as the fattest pastry in Europe.
That serves about right.
And I will say it was very decadent. It was very tasty.
Ours had Nutella in it? It was good. It was very
I thought it was kind of like a... almost like a cinnamon roll.
Something,
wasn't
it? It was delicious.
Yeah, I mean, whatever it was buttery goodness.
When you told me the name of it, I wanted to like go look up like Queen Amman. Like, I was like, who is, what, when does she rule? You know what I mean? Like, I wanted to go look it up.
Right. So the only other time I've heard of Queen Amman before we had one at Peddler's Fork was on the Great British Bake Off. But we had that. We had a guava cream cheese croissant.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm talking about croissant, I'm talking about the fancy kind where they were able to like...
swirl it.
They swirl it. So part of it looks kind of like rye bread and part of it looks like a regular croissant. It's not rye bread, but that's what it looks like. We both had a cafe burrito.
That's right.
What do you remember about that?
Meaty. Delicious. Yeah. It was good.
I remember it had like bacon. It had salsa verde. It had some chunky potatoes in it that I liked.
Yeah. The tortillas seemed like they were fresh made.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like a huge, overwhelming, like wet, soggy burrito, right?
No.
It was
manageable.
Nice, it's the kind of burrito that if you're riding your bike and you need to get it fixed, you can grab the burrito while they fix your bike.
And if you say, I'm going to get it to go, my bike will be fixed in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Let me get this burrito to go.
Right.
I'm going to take a couple bites while I'm going down the road.
Right. You
instead
can handle
of,
it. You
instead
can
of the water bottle being squirted into your mouth.
You're going burritos.
Just taking a couple burrito bites. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, it was delicious. I like that place a lot because it's kind of hidden. I just like going there. It's peaceful. It's hidden. The ambiance is really nice. You know, on Saturdays, they have a farmer's market right down the road. So it's a nice place to go.
It's a little hidden because there's a lot of foliage kind of in front of it, which is cool because then it gives you a little privacy when you're eating and it looks cool in the background of, you know, on the gram.
Right, right.
You know, that's me and you are obsessed with the gram.
The gram. I've never had a bad meal there. And I love their, we also had one of these. We had a Dirty Chai.
Oh, that's right.
Which is my morning drink of choice.
Yeah. Gosh, that reminds me of a place, RIP, Steampunk.
Love
Cafe.
Steampunk.
Really?
Love Steampunk.
It's gone, man.
Had Steampunk been around, had they made it, that would have been my Brentfest.
I'll tell you what, Steampunk, Amy, love Amy. I hope she opens another place.
Please. In Calabasas.
One of my friends did a lot of the silhouette art there. Jordan Monsell, if you remember all the kind of crazy artwork they had in that place.
For sale?
Yeah,
My wife and I almost bought a couple pieces.
Okay, yeah. Jordan's a buddy of mine. We'll go hiking.
Shout out, Jordan. That's great
work. I had
work.
Jordan Monsell make me once because he does steampunk type stuff, but he also does these silhouettes. And Jordan's not fake. He does he literally cuts those things out with scissors.
Oh, really?
Okay. And Jordan's grandpa or great-grandpa was the guy that created the Morton Salt with that logo.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So he's like got a whole artistic history. But Jordan,
do a Pitbull piece, man.
Oh.
I challenge you.
All right.
Let's do an ode to Pitbulls.
Look,
if
you commissioned it for him for, you know, a little bit of money, he probably would do it. He did for me a Steampunk Fantastic Four.
Okay.
So you've got like the thing with wearing a bowler hat and a pipe. Right?
Yeah.
You got the Human Torch in an old school like fireman hat thing.
That's great.
And then of course you just got like the sideburns with the Mr. Fantastic and kind of a flapper take on the invisible Sue Storm. Yeah. So Jordan, you know, I miss that place because of the artwork. It also was just a place I wrote. Like I was so productive writing at Steampunk Coffee, and it was
and
the food was great
Their chicken and waffles. Did you have that?
Yep.
With the HMO sauce?
Mm-hmm. The HMO. You're bringing me back, dude, the HMO sauce.
Let's sell the HMO sauce. Let's get the HMO sauce
Let me talk something out of school, man, that
Please.
I found ridiculous. The guy that owned the building before, like as soon as COVID happened, they kind of tried to negotiate, you know, like a lot of people did. We don't have money coming in. Let's negotiate like a little bit of the rent. The guy was like, no, and immediately opened a mask store. He turned it into a mask store.
He turned steampunk into a mask store?
That's some evil stuff right there.
Yeah, man. Like,
you know what I mean?
Look, shame on on anybody who didn't help anybody during COVID. You know what I mean? Like, some people needed more help than others, but like, we all needed to help each other at that point.
Yeah.
And still, right? So
imagine if everybody just done that. Oh, no, I'm going to close all the stores and just open a mask store.
You know, it happened to my wife. My wife's a business owner, and she received very little help when it came to rent and stuff like that. And we got lucky she survived it, but a lot of businesses didn't. And it's a shame that such a wonderful place like Scene Punk didn't.
Well, we were talking about Peddler's Fork. I don't know if we got completely off track there, but thank you.
It was the chai.
It was the dirty chai because that's what they had. That was one of the things from Steampunk too. But thank you for going to Peddler's Fork. Thank you for reliving
you.
Steampunk. Look, I'll let you know if Amy opens a new place because
I want to be on the mailing list.
All right.
Let's make it happen.
I got you. But that's the chicken and waffles. I'm missing that, man. I'm missing those chicken and waffles.
I would drive from my house 40 minutes just to get there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that place is
that
amazing.
Used to be my riding spot, dude.
Amazing. And, amazing. And they had like the, didn't they have like the like little games you could play, like Connect Four or whatever.
And the second Breakfast number two was there.
Was it?
Yeah. Number two at Steampunk Cafe.
We used to bring our little pit bull there.
Oh, is that right?
I think Amy, the owner, right? Amy always used to make a comment on our little puppy.
God, I might have seen your puppy there. You know what I mean?
We might have crossed paths.
Yeah, I used to be there every day.
Had you known I was the movietickets.com guy, you would have
I would have, yeah. I would have stolen your pit bull.
Right? Oh, man.
Well, thank you for going for Peddler's Fork with me.
Of course. Peddler's Fork is awesome.
It was great. And guys, check that place out if you're around Calabasas.
Yes, for sure.
So you were born in Costa Rica.
Yes.
You lived in Miami for a good deal of time.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about, one, those places in general. Did they play a part in you becoming a creative type person? If so, in what way?
Yeah, man. Costa Rica is an amazing country. I am so proud to be Costa Rican, Tico.
Yeah.
And growing up there, man, you don't have as much culture. Except I remember, had to be early on in my life. We went to see a play. Right. I don't remember how old I was.
Okay.
Five, six.
When
you're young, as far back as you can remember being young. Right. And I just remember seeing the characters and it was like a clown. I don't remember what the play was, but it was like a clown and they were like having so much fun. And I was like front row looking up. And I credit that moment to be like the moment I was like, oh, man, I'd love to be on stage and doing something like that. Right. I just remember doing that. And then my mom and I migrated to the States, to Miami. And I remember going to the movies a lot. And that's how I kind of assimilated with the culture, right?
Yeah.
I assimilated. I learned English. I didn't speak a lick of English when I got here.
Okay. Tell me a couple of the movies that you're like really were your go-tos. Because there's got to be a couple where you're like, I learned so much English from this movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The first, so there's three that I remember. There's four that I remember like watching and learning stuff from in English. Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
Oh, that's so good. Yeah, that's
right,
great.
Right? Mortal Kombat, the original
one. Yeah.
Right? Disney's The Rookie.
Yeah.
Right? Where he threw out his arm.
Sure.
And Don't Be a Menace to South Central While Drinking Your Juice in the Hood.
Ah, that's nice.
Those are like four that I remember being kind of like that 10-year-old, 8-year-old, 9-year-old, learning like English slang.
And you're just walking around going, get over here.
Yeah, yeah, right. All righty then. Funny story, real funny story, real quick, about, assimilating into a new culture and a new language, right? It was elementary school. Miss Huffman was my teacher. I don't remember what grade, but we were having a pizza party and I love pizza, man.
Yeah.
Like,
Pizza in Costa Rica?
There's pizza in Costa Rica.
Okay.
Yeah. It's, we have everything the States has.
Yeah.
But sometimes it gets there late.
Oh, right? Gotcha.
Movies get there later. Like, I remember watching, like, The Simpsons, like, way later, right? Like, when new episodes didn't get there in time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But yeah, Costa Rica has everything.
Was it like this? Because in the Midwest, here's the deal.
Yeah.
You would be like, I'm wearing the freshest clothes. And then somebody from California comes to visit, and they're like, that's from, like, 5 years ago.
Yeah, man. There was a lot of that because there was like a lot of hand-me-downs. You know what I mean? Like people in Costa Rica like would come to the States, buy a bunch of clothes, take it back and sell it in Costa Rican stores as like American clothes. You know what I mean? And, people growing up here in the States don't realize how much other countries like look up to the United States.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And want that what we have here, the freedom and the peace that we have. So, and the opportunity. So that's, we're lucky to be here in the States. But back to the pizza, right?
Yeah.
So Ms. Huffman's class pizza party, love pizza, and everybody got a slice, right? Okay. And at this time, like, I knew English, but, like, I didn't, it wasn't mastered, right? And my mom didn't know English, and I, you know, I was just, okay. I talked Spanish with my mom, and if I ever said anything, you know, weird, my mom wouldn't correct me because she didn't know any better, right? So I walked up to the teacher, and I was like, can I have another slice of pizza? And she was like, no, one per student. And I go, damn it! And I, like, walk away, right? And she's like, what did you say? And I go, damn it. And she goes, do you talk like that at home? And I was like, yeah. And she thought I was being, like, a smartass, you know what I mean? Yeah. She was like, come here, young man. She called, like, my parents. We had a parent-teacher conference. And I had no idea
you didn't
I was
know it was
doing
bad,
anything wrong.
Bad thing to say.
Yeah.
You just thought it was, like, you were still like,
correct,
oh, man.
Correct. Yeah. And I think that must have come from, you know, one of the movies, Don't Be a Menace or whatever, or you know, Jim Carrey, where I saw, damn it, or whatever, right? Like, yeah, it's crazy how TV and film influence us. And I think that's why I got into the industry, because I wanted to, number one, like, kind of shed culture from Costa Rica and kind of be that, lead that train, mm-hmm. right? And also, like, I wanted to be an escape for people when they needed it, you know
right.
what I mean? I think that's what drove me to get into this field.
I know that we had talked about this too. You lived in Miami for a long time, mm-hmm. and that you were there during Hurricane Andrew.
Right.
I was happened to be during the Navy at that time.
Right.
And I was telling you that, like, we cleaned up, we pulled all the carpeting out of this high school. And you're like, that was our rival high school, Homestead.
Yeah. We used to play. I played basketball for Miami Killian, and we would hate playing in Homestead because it was dark. It was such a dark gym. The drive there was terrible. And they always used to do, like, this, like, chant, right? Where it was like, whoop.
Yeah.
Like, whenever we were shooting, the whole stands would go whoop. And I hated it. The locker rooms were terrible there. The visiting locker rooms, it was not a fun school to play. And that was one of our rivals for sure.
Wow.
I might have been playing basketball while you were tearing carpet in another room. Our lives have crossed 16 times that we didn't know of.
If I had known... I would have ripped the carpeting out of your high school as well.
This guy's going to grow up to be the movietickets.com guy. Get him out of here.
I remember there used to be a couple of Nebraska football players from Manatee High. Is that Miami? Is it outside of Manatee? Okay.
I believe it was, like, right outside of Miami. Yeah. Man.
Manatee High. Manatee I always thought the manatees were some of the coolest animals.
The sea cows.
I love them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just love looking at them.
You call your wife and it's like, I'm in love. Her name is...
She's like, are you at the pound again? No, the manatee shelter, the manatee aquarium.
That would have been my second guess.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, I understand that, you know, and I talk about this on the show a lot. If we let this whole pandemic go by, we had all this kind of free time. If we didn't use it in some useful way, it was really a missed opportunity. I understand you've been working on a bunch of stuff that, you know, you want to talk about some of that?
I have, man. You know, I think we live in a day where there's so much content out there. As artists, it's our responsibility to kind of create our own, right? And stay active. Because if you just sit there waiting for the phone to ring, it's a grueling business. So right now, the biggest thing I'm working on is a scripted podcast.
Yeah.
I created about Area 51.
I love it.
Dun, dun, dun.
I love it already.
I won't get into the details, but it's in a not too distant future where Area 51 is decommissioned.
Yeah.
And then some people go missing, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a true crime podcast. I'm working on it with Cassie Jerkins and Barry Stiglitz, who are co-writing with me. It's just really, really a fun podcast. We hope to kind of get it out there here in the next year. But
I'm a big fan of that genre, the faux true crime podcast.
Yeah.
I did one. The only scripted podcast that I actually did for somebody, I did part of it, was called In Strange Woods, and it was a faux true crime musical podcast.
Okay.
So In Strange Woods, if you're interested, that's a cool show. It's like six episodes. And it's a good example of, like, a true crime podcast where you're like, this seems pretty real. And then
that's what we're going for, right?
Yeah.
So the inspiration came from Blackout with Robbie Malik. It's a scripted podcast. It's really good if you haven't listened to it. And then, you know, I kind of put together the original story. We've been workshopping it. And then Cassie had the idea of, like, hey, it would be cool to kind of make it like an armchair detective where the listener wants to solve the mystery. And so we kind of started taking that angle. And I think we got something really special. Check it out when it comes out.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we're very proud of it. And then, you know, I grew up around basketball. I love basketball. I think one of the funnest time in sports. Is funnest a word? I'm Costa Rican.
I mean, technically it's most fun, but most I would fun. Say funnest.
Funnest,
yeah.
funnest. Yeah. In Costa Rica, we say funnest.
Okay.
Or in Costa Rica, we say one of the most duanis, which is too nice. But, you know, when they read it, it says duanis.
Duanis.
Duanis. Times in sports is March Madness, right?
Love it.
College basketball. Mm-hmm. And whether you're a fan or not, you can get into it, right? And so I wrote a show that revolves around college basketball.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Entourage meets, you know, Friday Night Lights. And it's just really fun because it watches a boy become a man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's the journey that a lot of people go through, whether you're male, female, right? And it just revolves around that world of college sports, which is, I think, is a very nice world.
AJ Caster, before we get out of here, I need to get three quick recommendations from you.
Okay.
What is the hidden gem show or movie that you watch that people may not know?
I'll give you an old school one.
Ooh.
It's a movie. If anybody watched it, it would have been you.
Okay.
Ed Norton, Robin Williams, Death to Smoochie.
Death to Smoochie. Okay. People hated that movie so much. I thought it was hilarious.
I thought it was such a
dark comedy.
I thought
it was a great dark comedy.
Yeah.
100% agree with you.
I loved it, and I'm a big Robin Williams fan, so that one was true. It was
the critics hated that movie.
I loved it.
I feel like it should have had the same treatment as The Cable Guy. Do you remember The Cable Guy?
Yeah.
Cable Guy. Do you remember the story about that? Ben Stiller directed The Cable Guy.
I didn't know that.
It got so destroyed by the critics that Ben Stiller didn't get a direct for like 10 years after that or something like that. And now it's like The Cable Guy is known as this like cult classic.
Cult classic, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. It's on TBS all
same thing. I think it's pretty great.
Death to Smoochie. Go watch it.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Death to Smoochie. Really funny.
Yeah.
Dark and really funny.
Yeah.
Great.
How do you even get Death to Smoochie nowadays?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Amazon probably sells it.
Maybe Amazon. That's a weird thing now. Like now that they're not sold in the stores a lot now,
right.
How do you even get some of these things?
Yeah. Death to Smoochie.
Sure, I'm sure it's somewhere. Yeah. What is the show or movie that you watch just for fun?
I want to say Seinfeld, right? Because it's just always on in the background of my house.
Yeah.
You know, you fall asleep to it. But I'm going to say, just for fun, Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Curb. You ever audition for that show?
I want to so bad.
Okay, I did it once. It's an interesting process they have.
Okay.
When I went in, I know some people went in and they were reading directly with Larry David. That's probably for the bigger parts.
Right.
This is for like your co-stars or whatever.
Okay.
You walk into the audition room.
Right.
There's a little bowl. Like you pull out a little fortune cookie thing on it, and it basically says something like, Larry used to be allowed to come into this place, but now he's not. And then you go in and play that scene. You're a security guard. Larry used to be allowed here. Now he's not. And you just improvise with the casting director.
That's so cool, man. I studied at Iowa West.
Yeah?
And so, I graduated from their improv.
Wait, when were you at Iowa West?
Right before it closed. So probably two, three years leading up to the close.
I have really good friends at Iowa West. A lot of the teachers, a lot of the bartenders.
Love the teachers.
I used to be on a show called Top Story Weekly.
Top Story Weekly.
Yeah,
I made a cameo on that.
I was in that show 5 years.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Top Story is a great, great show. So anywho, I would love to audition for Curb. That's my guilty pleasure because, you know, I have that training. But I thought, Larry David, man, like that guy is a legend. There's a podcast. Can I plug another podcast?
Sure.
This podcast?
Why not?
It's called Origins.
Okay.
Have you heard of it?
No.
It's about how shit started, right? How things started. They have like a season on like Sex and the City on ESPN and like how it started. Saturday Night Live, right?
Yeah.
And one of their seasons is Curb and how Curb started. And it has like cast interviews and stuff. And that's a great, great listen. But JB Smoove, his story about how he started on Curb is really cool.
Well, that guy's exploded, man.
Oh,
you know,
man.
From like a guy that were like, this guy's kind of, he has this kind of little part on Curb. And now he's just like, he's on commercials playing Caesar.
He's great, man. JB, he has a really cool story. Check it out on Origins. But but that's my guilty pleasure, man,
cool.
to give you a kind of shout out.
What is the show or movie that inspires you?
I love Kobe Bryant, right?
Mm-hmm.
As a Lakers fan,
okay.
right? He was kind of inspirational to me in kind of the way he approached work. And
right.
I kind of try to have that Mamba mentality, right?
Right.
So like any interviews on Kobe maybe is my guilty pleasure.
Okay.
And that kind of sits into the inspirational. Does that count or do you want a movie?
No, that counts. That counts.
Okay.
I think the Mamba mentality as an inspiration is... That works for me as like inspiring thing.
Yeah, man.
I mean, you see how people miss him all over Los Angeles. There's just murals everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. There was an interview he talks about, you know, he used to wake up. He's notorious waking up and working out at 4 a.m. or whatever. Right? And they asked him, why do you do that? And he goes, well, I could live three lives in the time that you can live one.
Right.
He's like, what do you mean? He's like, well, if you wake up at 9 a.m. and you train at 10 and then you go, you know, take a shower, eat lunch, go back, train at 4, that's your day. Where with me, if I train at 4... Eat breakfast, train again at 7, you know, take a shower, read, relax, train at 2, and then go back, you know, be with family and then train again at 7. Now I've got 4 workouts in the time you got 2 workouts. So I've gotten twice as better as you have, right? And I was like, man, that, that way of thinking, that Mamba mentality, when people apply it to non-basketball things, it really works too.
I like the, I don't know where this saying came from, but the saying is 5 a.m. is when legends are either going to bed or waking up.
I love that. I had a roommate, a good friend of mine, Ryan Katz. We called him Smiley. He always used to give me shit because I used to wake up early to that Mamba mentality, right?
Yeah.
Tongue in cheek, he was always used to say, you and Steven Spielberg's are the only one up right now, right? Like that kind of thing. And it's true. You know, that's when legends are made.
I do like all-nighters all the time, not even intentionally. Typically, when I'm doing a breakfast show, I'm preparing the interviews and my mind is just going a million miles a minute. I usually am sitting there working on stuff, doing all sorts of breakfast related things. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, it's 8 a.m.
Yeah. Like, where did I go?
Cool. I guess we'll sleep later.
That's why you're a legend, my friend.
I'm not saying I'm a legend. I'm an insomniac.
Listen, to me, you are, my man.
Cool.
This show, you, everything you've done, man, good and bad. Like, I'm very humbled and honored to be here with you.
Oh, thank you.
Seriously.
But as my manager and my agent said, not movie tickets material. So not movietickets.com material.
They're going a different way, Brent.
Well, thank you for those recommendations. I appreciate them.
Of course.
Guys, if you want to get more Brentfast stuff, such as pics of AJ Castro and I enjoying our Brentfast from Peddler's Fork, go to my website, brentpope.com. You can listen to all the Brentfast episodes there. You can see clips from all my TV appearances and the official Brentfast store with a bunch of fun stuff, shirts, mugs, stickers, masks, perfect for holiday gifts. They're all in there. People of Earth, do yourself a favor by buying something from the Brentfast store. You'll be very glad you did. And if you enjoy the show, please give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to Brentfast. And make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any new episodes. Brentfast is being enjoyed all over the United States and in 46 other countries now. The latest just within the last month, Argentina, Egypt, Pakistan, Nigeria. Welcome, 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 welcome. And trust me, the new additions to my Breakfast Burrito Brigade, we are just getting started. Special thanks to my editor, the one and only Rosemary Brown, for all the Breakfast slicing and dicing. Much appreciate. Big ups also to my studio engineer, Marco Leon, for making me sound so good. AJ Castro, what is next for you and where can we find you on social media?
At Real AJ Castro. That's my tag everywhere. Instagram is probably the best way to find out kind of my up-and-coming projects. But right now, outside of a few projects that are kind of teetering on my life, whether it's going to go my way or not, you know, check out this created by world that I'm starting with the Area 51 podcast and then my March Madness TV show.
And with that, we put another steamy episode of Breakfast with Brent Pope in the old to-go bag. See ya.
Ow!
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.